This is for the dealer network?
For the dealer network.
Yeah.
So remember Elon Musk was pushing very, very hard to not have any car dealers.
Right. And most, I think, where it's allowed, because there are rules around this, but you just buy directly from Tesla, and you don't need a... They don't have a independent dealer network.
It's a state-required franchise for auto dealers.
Yeah.
It's part of a socioeconomic arrangement, political economy. But the thing is, in a sense, it doesn't matter. BYD is going to have dealers, 20 dealers in Canada. They're not going to make a ton of money actually selling and servicing the cars. The thing is that what made, you know, traditional cars profitable to be dealers for is you buy a car, 6 months later it's a service, or after a warranty, whatever, you know, you gotta get something done, like, it's whatever. Electric cars just don't have that. Like, either the battery breaks or it just doesn't. There's just, electric cars simply just don't have the mechanical complexity. The engine's a lot simpler. There is no engine. The motor, the electrical motor, is a 100-year-old technology. They don't really have...
Mature for a long, long, long time.
They don't have transmissions, which is the single most complicated part of a car in any sense that a traditional car would recognize. They're heavier, which is why the tires wear faster, but that doesn't help the dealers. You know, you just go to Costco for that. And so the point is, long-term dealer economics are going to be bad regardless. And I think a lot of what we associate with the economic centrality and economic importance and spillover effects of the auto sector is actually the fact that internal combustion cars are quite costly and take up quite a significant fraction of your income. It's like that these TikToks where people would spend $1,200 payment on a truck. These are very significant embedded parts of people's paychecks and household budgets. The long-term trend for cars is that they just stop being so economically important for people's daily lives in economic terms. They'll still be very important for transportation.
So let's bring this back to the tariffs and what all this sort of trend means for that.
Yes. So if you think about the genealogy of Canadian economic integration in North America, it started originally with the Auto Pact in the 50s, 60s, whatever, immediate post-war period, and then we bundled kind of a free trade agreement in 88 around that, trying to extend that productivity across the entire economy. It didn't work. And then in 94, it was extended to Mexico with an attempt to make a hemispheric economic union or integrated market a potential reality. That didn't work. And in the meantime, in the last few years, I think the economics for the auto sector itself, so the premise for the Auto Pact, has essentially started declining quite materially. So there might not be a genuine reason to have a comprehensive free trading agreement at all, because it's not just a trade agreement, it's an economic integration agreement, and it just prevents alignment on a lot of other issues like standards and so on with the European Union, with Asia, with any other entities.
Right.
And the future might be Canada as an independent trading power. And for most of the Canadian economy, that would make almost no difference.
Which makes that rule that the U.S. were trying to slip in there at the end of the negotiations about having coordinated tariffs and stuff with different groups and limiting the ability to create new trade agreements, particularly problematic.
Yeah, the United States
and we need to be expanding our relationships.
Yeah, I mean, look, the United States economy has been the best performing economy, large Western economy for the past two decades, hands down, no question.
Yeah.
But the parts it has been best performing in is like tech and platform economics, Google, Apple, yeah, NVIDIA. These are not things where tariffs make any difference. Economic integration makes any difference.
Right.
These are just not a completely different discussion. And Canada doesn't have that. So the stuff where it is growing, the NAFTA, USMCA, whatever, it just doesn't come into it.
All right.
So it just might be a separate discussion.
All right. Okay, well, we'll end it there. Very quick, though.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll eat into my tariff thing for all I know. I think what it is that We could. I mean, if the United States was interested in fighting like mainland China, I think they had to have. First of all, the reason they're doing is to take us over, to attempt to take us over. That's it. Yeah. It is not anything else. So they say, oh, well, we're unhappy that you're trading with mainland China. If they were interested in Canada not doing that, then they have to have free trade Canada-United States. And the other thing is, the only thing we have to really, in my opinion, be concerned with mainland China is human rights in China. Otherwise, just have open trade with China. And unfortunately, Canada is being forced in a position that they really can't be worried about the human rights situation in China because of the way the American has been taking us. So the thing is, I would say the United States, you're interested in how this relates to human rights in China, you're going to have to have...
I don't think Trump cares very much
about... I realize that. That's my point. I'm talking about other people. But realize something. This is not... This is a crackpot attempt to take over Canada and do make it the 51st state. He's a crackpot. He wants to take over Greenland, and that is what it is. Okay,
I'm not going
to
argue with you about that. And all right. Thank you, Peter. We're going to change topics here and jump over to Gardening with Embark, and then we'll be back with Peter talking about this strange American conservative Christian program.
Well, it's not that strange, but we'll go over.
Okay. Joining us now is Pablo Vimas, our gardens expert from Embark Sustainability here at the Student Union Building here at SFU. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be back. Thank you.
So it's week 35.
Yes.
And
amazing. Time has flied. We were talking about week 26 when we just summer break started, and now we are closing it.
Yeah.
And it seems the Mother Nature is telling us summer is over.
Definitely seeing a bit of a shift in the weather.
It has over the last week, actually. Last time we talked, we were saying we need to prepare ourselves, finish harvesting all the summer crops. And yeah. The sky is opening and rainfall is on the forecast.
Yeah.
And if our listeners have been observing nature, or we as a gardeners try to understand what nature is telling us in order to be efficient gardeners, we notice that most of the trees, the maple trees, are having the leaves are turning reddish, yellowish, and as well some of the leaves are on the floor already. And so it really tells nature is feeling that the weather is shifting.
We're starting to see the beginning of that fall transition.
Yes, and it went very fast, very quick, because a week ago we had a beautiful 25 degrees, and suddenly the temperature now is changing, and fall weather is here.
And typically what happens with this is we get a little, we get some of this cool weather, and when the sun comes back, when the sunny days come back, they're not quite as warm as they were before this.
Yes, so we will still have some nice sunny and warm days, but at night we will have cold nights now. And slowly the weather will be cooling off. And the fall is here, and we start looking for our jackets, our rubber boots. And slowly moving into, transitioning into fall. During that period in the garden, what we do is start thinking on soil care. So most of the urban agriculture uses engineered soil, which is rich in organic matter. And during this good weather, the bacteria and fungi in the soil has exploded. The population went up. And therefore, all the organic matter has been decomposed. So there's lots of nutrients just floating there in the soil.
Yeah.
The moment that the rains come, quite often, all these nutrients will be just washed away from our garden bed.
Right.
So now we need to try to protect, conserve a bit of those nutrients that are ready to be absorbed by plants by protecting the soil. So what we do is now is start thinking, we need to start protecting the soil either with mulch, putting a layer of leaves, or building hoop houses to keep the excess rain out of the soil. In natural soils, we have very little organic matter. It's just 5% of organic matter, and 45% is made from mineral particles, which we sand, silt, and clay. But the engineered soil is 45%
right.
organic matter and 5% is sand.
Right, and that, of course, makes it really good for growing. But
yes, we have all these nutrients. It's difficult to keep them in the soil.
Yeah.
So if you have pots that you can move, try to put them out of the rain so these nice nutrients are still staying there.
Yeah.
And try to conserve. And yeah, in our case, we have our garden beds, which are in the open. So we will be, hopefully, in the coming weeks, start to build hoop houses because it's our new garden. And starting to protect the soil. So there is also some advice out there that it is the time to put more manure, more amend your soil, put nutrients. But I'm always a bit skeptical because the rain is coming. So you're expending money, adding more compost to your soil, and this rain comes and all the nutrients are just washed away.
Right.
And so here in Bark, we only amend our soil in the spring, making sure that there is lots of nutrients ready for the spring and summer and fall, and the winter we just leave the soil as it is.
Yeah.
But we try to protect as much as we can.
Good. And so with now that it's getting cooler, what difference do we want from the soil? Because we're going to be putting our fall crops in.
Yeah, so the soil still is a bit warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and still good for germination of seeds, particularly cold crops like spinach, lettuce, mesclones. Radishes, they will be there well. They will do well. But we just want to find a way how to keep these nutrients. We've been experimenting here adding volcanic rock. So volcanic rock is very porous, and hopefully all the water with the nutrients gets inside of the porous structure and stays in there. Because our soil, as I said, is engineered. There are no stones. There is no wood debris. Mm-hmm. In nature, you have all these roots, wood debris, stones, rocks, all mixed up nicely and retains the nutrients and the soil. But we have nothing on it. It's just a nice we have 2 feet deep of garden bed, but it's all engineered soil. So, yeah, we try to find a way how to retain the nutrients in the soil.
Right. So if you feel... You have a feeling that a lot of the nutrients have been washed out of your soil. What can you do about that, especially if you're thinking of doing some fall planting?
Yeah, so if you will be topping up a bit the garden beds or your containers, topping up a bit with fresh soil, so that soil brings new nutrients and those nutrients will just fill the soil that isn't left. Most of the time people say, is this potting soil, is no nutrients, you just throw it away in the for the city to be taken away, and then you buy new soil and you fill the container completely with new soil. I don't see that need. I just need to top it up with fresh soil.
Yeah.
And the soil still is good, has organic matter because of the roots that are in there, but we just need a bit of topping up with nutrients.
Right. Great.
Yeah, so this is the time that we start thinking how to build hoop houses, how to protect our soil from the excessive rain, start to look which parts of our garden are going to get flooded. it's thinking, whatever I did, we've been talking this a year ago about observing the garden. If your garden tends to flood certain spots and then you decide to level it up, grade it, or find a way to drain the water. So now is the time to see, is it work? The works that we have done, will we work?
Yeah.
Whatever we have done over the summer, will we work? And suddenly it could be that it works or it got worse. So, so that's the time to, with it rains, it's time to start seeing how our garden behaves, how we can prevent and find work to ameliorate or to reduce the effects or the water is standing in the garden.
So with when you're considering adding mulch, what are you looking for in mulch? Because it basically you're looking for some sort of ground cover that protects from water and maybe provides some heat insulation.
Yeah, so let's define what's mulch.
Yeah.
Mulch is any material that is being used to protect the soil. It could be leaves, tree leaves. It could be wood chips. It could be landscape fabric. It could be plastic. It could be an old carpet lying around. It could be cardboard, anything. But what we look in our case, I like to use leaves because The leaves of the trees, they're organic.
Yep.
They don't have pesticides. And a thick layer of 2 inches, mm-hmm. they will be good enough. And that layer as well creates a habitat for all the microorganisms living in the soil. So during these winter days, earthworms, millipedes, centipedes, roly-polies, they will avoid to be in a cold house. So they will move up to the mulch layer mm-hmm. that is nice and warm and with food.
Right.
So they will stay there over the winter. So we probably have a nice habitat for them. With plastic, well, yeah, it's nice, protected from the rain, but doesn't bring any benefit to the soil.
Right.
Our old carpet could be that's nice. It protects the soil from the raindrops. But as the it's a plastic, it's a synthetic material.
Yep.
It will decompose and all those is added to the soil.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like, not really. So, and wood chips are quite good if you have, but the problem is that wood chips tends to bring lots of roly-polies because all they like this wooden environment.
Yeah.
And then you decide to grow your lettuces, your pak choy, and the roly-polies love to eat the stems of these crops. So like, it's a balance, what I bring and what not. So I try to keep away from the wood chips. And besides wood chips, most of the times is evergreen, mm-hmm. so pine trees.
Right.
And they have certain kind of resins that they are not good. They're not good for the soil. So just let's keep
And that'll leach out of the chips into the soil.
Yeah, it leaches. So
changes chemistry.
Yes, change the chemistry, and that's why weeds don't grow because it's so acidic. So wood leaves is the best. If you have cardboard, that's good. Cardboard, this pressed cardboard has these little holes in between these two layers of paper, and earthworms love to get in there. So yeah, as cardboard is quite good. It will decompose, it will rotting, and it also offers a space for earthworms to get in there and stay. So yeah, so with layers of cardboard, at least 2 layers of cardboard, mm-hmm. and 2 inches of leaves for the mulch. So that will be what we are looking for. So by covering the soil with this excessive rain, what we are protecting is that when the rain drops fall in the ground, the soil doesn't jump everywhere.
Right.
You see that you are on the garden beds. All the garden bed is covered with soil, which is splash. So we're trying to reduce that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, the rain drop falls in the soil, on the leaves, and then slowly this dissipates into the soil.
Yeah.
There is no much splash.
So as always, being a good janitor and looking after your gardens.
Yes, a good janitor. And there will be the other problem. I said, we have those leaves, nice habitats for but as well as nice habitats for slugs. Indeed. you cannot win. You cannot win. So we have to be, again, we know that we are creating habitats for the soil fauna, but as well, slugs will decide, I'm moving in. So again, we have to keep an eye on them.
Yep.
So, an update of our garden here in Bonavi. We had a beautiful corn.
Mm-hmm.
A week ago, we were saying, it's time to harvest.
Yep.
And we did not harvest. The weekend arrived, and all of those ear corns were eaten by the wildlife. Mm-hmm. I guess no raccoons because the kings are very, not too strong, and they are still standing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they were either squirrels or rodents that came and ate all of it.
How disappointing.
Very disappointing because it was ready to harvest. And a week ago we were saying, let's harvest now. But we said, let's wait one more week. One more week and we got nothing. So again, listen to yourself. This is experience. If you don't harvest, nature will do it for you. And that's typical gardening. If you don't harvest, somebody else will do it for you.
Yep.
If it's not nature, it's the neighbor or somebody visiting the garden. So this time we didn't harvest on time and the wildlife came and ate it. We were very disappointed. So what we did now, we just removed the canes, or the corn canes, and leave the root system still in the soil.
Yep.
Because the root system is very dense, very fibrous, and we just leave it there. So whatever bacteria, fungi is growing in the root system will slowly find another place, move to another plant,
yeah.
and next week we'll be moving the root system and start planting something else in that space. Yep. That's one thing.
The ups and downs of gardening.
And then we also notice that all our cucumbers, zucchinis, pumpkins, plants are covered with a white powder mildew. So again, like, time to remove, do the last harvesting and bring new crops. Peas, and particularly I love peas, snap peas that do very well in this time of weather. Then we have all the tomato plants. Okay, so tomato plants, we know that the weather at night is changing, it's getting cold. The tomato plants, if you, in our case, we haven't been pruning and pinching, so it's a big, big bush covering everything. So now is the time to decide, like, it's no point to keep it long. Fall is here, it's time to remove and make room for another crop.
All right, well. Sounds like a busy time in the garden.
Yes, it's a busy time. It's a transition time. And once now we are just moving into fall crops or cold crops, as we call. Ready for a fall. And looking forward for this September and October, only 2 months.
Yep.
Because by mid-October, we will be looking into planting garlic. And November, around the 11th of November, we will have the first frost. So it's 8 more weeks before we are talking about how cold is getting out there.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much, Pablo Vimas. Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability. Tell us about how we can find out more about Embark.
Yeah, so Embark Sustainability is a nonprofit organization. We are an educational hub. So if you're interested in developing more knowledge and get hands-on in sustainability, please visit us. We are located in the Student Union in the first floor, office 1310. Or you can follow us, our work through our social media channels at Embark Sustainability. Visit our website at embarksustainability.org. Currently, we are calling for gardening cohort, members of the gardening cohort in the fall. We start on September the 24th until November the 5th. And that's where we are calling for people who help us to do the food rescue, distributors. And there is other couple more positions available. So visit our website if you're interested in doing some sustainable and hands-on in campus.
Well, thanks so much, Pablo. See you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks to Pablo for that. He'll be back next week. Now it's time for Peter Arish. We've squeezed your time a little bit, but hopefully you have time to dig into it.
Anyway, so American News Radio Journal is a Christian conservative show. It's provided to stations free. Now, a lot there's a Christian radio station that we can get from Blaine, Washington, 550 AM Carry Radio, KA. And they have it on 12:30 Friday night going to Saturday morning, 12:30 AM. But if you just put American News Radio Journal into the internet, you'll be able to get even their past shows and so on. Actually, the format of Carry Radio is people pay to be on it. It's a Christian station, but people have to pay to be on it. And there's a lot of stuff from North America, the Lutheran hour and so on, which is only half hour now, that they actually pay not just Christian stations, but secular stations to be on. So this may be the one show that doesn't have to pay to be on Carry Radio. So what is it? It's half an hour, and I'm looking at the last show, 7 segments. So they get approximately 4 minutes each, and they do it perhaps more brisky than I did because I think they're paid because people donate to the show. And Adam Tandowski contended they were funded by the McCoke brothers. They aren't. However, there is a segment that was not in this past show, but they have a segment from the Club But for Growth. And I think that has some Koch brother connection.
It's on. Koch brothers just kind of the conservative George Soros or something?
Yes.
They are kind of.
Yes.
In the opposite sides of imagination.
Yeah. I don't want to totally derail.
Yeah, Peter's don't derail. Thing,
but they are big time funder of a lot of different sort of right wing channels and and think tanks and that kind of thing.
But the point is that American News Radio doesn't get funding. Now, the Club for Growth, which is on a four-minute segment on the show every 2 weeks, is a segment from the Club for Growth, someone speaking on the Club for Growth. Now, you might say, why should I be hearing the show? Because they actually bring things up you wouldn't get anywhere else. They actually, some of the shows have come out against the Canadian tariffs. Mm-hmm. Others haven't. Now, here's a segment from the last show, which was the American elevator manufacturing shortage. It was contending that the United States, I don't know how much of this contends to Canada, the way that elevators are created, they said that part of the problem is that you have to create the elevator there at the place, where in Europe they have a way of creating the elevator outside and you format it in.
Right.
And
elevator, so this is a big thing in the construction industry. Elevator manufacturing offsite is banned in the United States due to labor codes and fire regulations. Which is, it costs like $1 million.
Yep.
Anyway, so we're getting a bit, you ought to get a job at American News Radio Radio. But you only have 4 minutes a week, though.
Keep going.
But they actually make, and then another segment from last week was, there was, so it was about New York public schools' race-based admission policies. Now, this was, they had an interview with a woman who was Oriental. I think it came from mainland China, came over to the United States.
You just say Asian.
You're like the people that say, I can't say East Indian. I have to, whatever. Anyway, so they were contending that the student had just barely missed the admission rates, mm-hmm. and that actually people of other colors, but not Asian, were able to get sort of a program. Right. The other thing was that they went through, if 60% or 40% of the school is lower income, then you're eligible. But if you're of low income, but not so many people in that school aren't, then you're sort of uneligible. And actually, about a month ago, they were talking about how
that's been one of those sort of, you know,
big affirmative action issue in the United States.
Well, but like, also yeah. one of those sort of hot talking points, particularly on the right, where, you know, they talk about reverse racism and a whole bunch of other stuff that, you know, is great for getting people riled up.
It's just like a lot much bigger thing. I'm my eyes on the clock. It's just a much bigger thing in the United States than Canada. It's like 100 times bigger.
Yeah.
Because Canada is really, really specifically about indigenous people as opposed to like wide scope.
I got one more segment. This was a month ago. It's actually how California controls the trucking industry across the United States, because if you want to travel, even if you're not traveling to California, there will be a California regulation that's not of your state that you have to be aligned with.
Well, California has one of the strongest like environmental regulations around trucking and vehicles.
But it also includes, even if you might not be trucking to California, because they'll say, well, you're trucking to another trans state. So they had a show on that.
Yeah. Well, I imagine the issue would be that if you have a trucking company, you don't want to set yourself up so you cannot truck anything to California, which is the biggest economy in the United States. So it's a bit like, you know, apparently Texas dominates the school textbook industry because they have a whole bunch of regulations, and it ends up being whatever Texas decides is what most other people have to follow, just because you can't get stuff specific for yourself.
Well, the California textbook market is bigger, but it's not, I think, decided at the state level. But the Texas Board of Education decides statewide textbooks for primary and secondary school, or something like that. So it ends up being the biggest single buyer in the same way that Canadian liquor control boards are. So one of these things.
Okay, I got through kind of what I wanted to say.
So what was the name of the show again? We got
American News Radio Journal. You just go to the internet. You'll also get, they have an archive. You'll hear the fast shows. And the segments are like 4 minutes each because they don't have like one personality doing it.
So. All right. That's all the time we have today. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up right now. Danny Nesvadaroni will be on with Speak Up tomorrow morning right at 10 o'clock Tuesday.